In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's turn our attention again to those few words from Paul to the Corinthians. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The Word. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, can you imagine anyone observing us individually in our lives or as a family of believers say about us, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever? It's that freely scattered part that I most am focused on. We might think of ourselves as more generous than others. We might like to think of ourselves as particularly generous, as evidence of our righteousness by faith, our love for Jesus. And yet, can you picture anyone in the world knowing for certain, because of our generosity, because of our willingness to share anything and everything with anyone in need, that they would see us as righteous through Christ and would see it accurately described as gifts being freely scattered to the poor? The exceptional nature of this description here in Corinthians is the very reason why Paul quotes it in this moment. He's encouraging Christians to see that God is truly going to supply everything we need when we're doing what God has placed in front of us to do. Remember, Paul has already taught the Ephesians that God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. Everything we have our ability to set our hand to that glorifies God, that serves neighbor, is something God has given to us amongst all of his many blessings. And so everything he has endeavored to call us to do, he promises us here, we'll do it because he's given us the ability and the resources. It's always good to have a high expectation, a high bar set that we can measure ourselves against. Every time we're feeling a little good about ourselves for being generous and giving away things that truly are necessary in our lives, not just the extras, it's not a bad thing to put ourselves in the crosshairs of this examination and ask ourselves the question, am I really demonstrating my righteousness? Am I really demonstrating my faith and trust in God that if he supplied my forgiveness in Jesus Christ, along with him, he'll graciously give me all other things? And so, this truly is the scattering of my gifts to the poor, almost with a willy-nilly kind of a scent to it. And that idea of I'm not concerned about who gets it or whether anybody that receives it will give anything back to me. You've heard that term quid pro quo ad nauseum the last few years. And that's what it's all about. I only give when I'm certain I'm going to get something in return. Perhaps you and I will meet the expectations of that examination. And indeed, that moment is an expression of our faith and is giving glory to God and is demonstrating our righteousness through Christ. And if that is the case, we have every reason to thank our God for that opportunity and that motivation. But more likely, the measurement tool that Paul offers us here will lead to a moment. It will become a mechanism of motivating our praise to God and our thanks to him for his amazing generosity, his selflessness, his generosity of not just things, but of love and spirit and forgiveness and offer him our repentance for so often failing to live up to these expectations and following his example when he has given us the opportunity. After all, the first verse of these words offers us perspective. Our human eyes and our human hearts seldom consider. Could God be framed in any more generous a way than he is in these words, than Paul does here? I'm actually not sure that it's possible. And to prove that to you, I'd like us to read those verses again, but now emphasizing every word that demonstrates the divine, infinite nature of God's generosity. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So is it on your mind and your heart that every day when you wake up, God has good things for you to do, that God has planned good works in advance for you to do, and these good works are diverse and plenteous? And here he tells you that he will supply you the resources needed to accomplish those good works. The problem often lies in the fact that we see good works so differently from the way God does. So what is the best good work that you could possibly do? When you and I are asked that question, our minds soar to infinite possibilities. We think of grandiose schemes and enormously important and world-changing activities that we could engage ourselves in. But that is not what Paul is actually writing about in this lesson. Paul is reminding us that every single day, if we focus on what is available to us within the events of our day-to-day lives, with the resources that God provides daily, within the framework of the blessings and the opportunities that God gives to endeavor, we will be supplied abundantly to accomplish every last thing that God has in mind for us to do. That requires of us a very intentional mindset. Are you ready for that? Are we ready to examine every single moment of our lives, of every single one of our days, regarding what God would have us do for others that would also give glory to him, to seize as many opportunities as we can to glorify our God, to thank our God through such moments, looking for every which way we could possibly serve others is not the script that is usually written for the individual American life as we see it, as we're tempted to it on a daily basis. And yet that is exactly how God defines in the Bible the Christian life. God not only defines a life of good works in this way, but right here he promises that he will bless it abundantly, he says. So many of us read those words and we think almost exclusively of material resources amongst those blessings that God is speaking of here, but that is not at all what Paul or God are talking about. They're talking about righteousness. Clearly in these verses, he's talking about righteousness, and nothing material can ever have that designation of being righteous or unrighteous. God and Paul are talking here about activity and the ability to get things of true benefit to the human beings around us accomplished. God never tells us anywhere, not here or anywhere else, that having stuff is wrong, that accumulating anything is sinful, or denying ourselves anything is even a better situation in life, something we should reject. Rather, he tells us that every last thing in our material lives is available to us by his choosing to give it to us abundantly for the purposes of his grace, his work in the world through us as his instruments to accomplish the things he gives us the ability and the resources to do. And he does that abundantly so that we will never stand face to face with what God intends us to do and not have the ability to address it. He tells us here that's just not possible. And so we have to flip that and ask ourselves how often we're thinking of what we need to do in any given moment, and yet we don't have the resources. It's a pretty good sign that God intends us to go a different direction with that day and that priority of choice. We like to focus on piling materials high so that we might have opportunity to do enormous things for God. But God's perspective, he prefers that we use every last thing he gives us faithfully, addressing as many human needs as we see around us every single day. The things he opens our eyes to see through his word. And that means doing little things. Very likely things that seem little to us, but not maybe as little to those on the receiving end. Doing the good things, speaking the words of kindness, demonstrating the gestures of support, encouragement, relief to people in need, that day by day, hour by hour, week by week, month by month, become the work of righteousness that he's talking about in these verses, that show God's presence in the world through us as God's hands and feet, eyes and ears, especially God's mouth, speaking his word in love, forgiveness, generosity, patience. That is a perspective that certainly stretches most modern humans. But by any standard of measurements, human beings now live more blessed lives than any generation that has ever lived on the face of the earth. Especially if we are measuring that reality on material, medical, technological standards. So what are we doing with all those blessings? Are we doing more to serve others every day with our lives because we have so much more to work with than any generation that's come before us? Are we more focused on using our resources to make our own lives more comfortable, more productive, more positive to our own perspectives and desires and priorities as we can? Always believing that once we have achieved even the smallest of our personal goals, then we will have time to share perhaps some of our leftover resources with others that we might see in need. When we hear such a question, we know we have so much to confess to our generous and always selfless Savior God. And we are so thankful that he does not take such an attitude toward us, or we would be lost forever. No, our Creator, Savior, God, he emptied himself completely of all the wisdom, all the glory, all the power, the wealth, the amazing reality of heaven, every last ounce of himself. Into a pauper's death and a borrowed burial. And he did that to give himself completely to the cause. His cause of making us righteous, of making us able to live with him in a new eternity, a life that will be perfect in its existence, perfect in its practice, perfect in its understanding of God, flawless in every way. A new existence that He will raise us from death to experience just as He raised Himself. Jesus Christ is actually the ultimate example of the type of supplying Paul points God out for in these verses. In the person of Jesus Christ, God did not need stuff. And to save us and do the ultimate good work. What He needed, all that He needed, was His life and His love. And He gave every last breath and every last ounce of both His life and His love to fashion for us a new eternal reality that will never be touched by any material thing that you and I can possess or experience on this side of that moment when He takes us either through death or judgment to know that eternity with Him. And that may all sound a little bit ethereal and esoteric, but it's actually not at all. It's the core of the very simple point that Paul is making in these verses, offering us a very perspective challenging couple of verses here in 2 Corinthians. When we live God's way as defined in these verses, when we focus on what God clearly says is most important and focus our lives daily on doing what God has defined for us to do, He tells us in these verses, we will never find ourselves in need of supply for doing what God has prepared in advance for us to do. And He wants us to have no doubt, none, that when we follow His direction daily and serve others, and serve Him by serving others as our first priority in life, with the opportunities and the resources that He has so uniquely given to each one of us as individuals in His world, there is a joy and a fulfillment available to us that is just the tiniest taste of the fulfillment we will know in eternity. That in living that way, there is truly absolutely nothing else that can ever give us what God is desiring to bestow on us here. And if that sounds good to you, God is ready to help you live this meaningful ministry. His word, His forgiveness, His strength, His wisdom, and everything else that you and I need to find our way to the perspective that He defines for us here will always be available to us 24/365. Now it's just a matter of you and I letting go of our own perspectives, our own priorities, our own preferences and appetites and desires, and letting God resupply us with every last thing that He desires us to have, to know, to experience, so that we might accomplish every last thing that He wants us to endeavor to His glory, and the abundant good that it will do in the world in which we live, that will also have its evidence as the only thing we can do in this life that really means anything at all in eternity when this life is over. Amen. Please stand. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.